Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to episode 495 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How are you, my fellas? On this fine, dumb fucking dog died day, as they call it.
Is this it? Is this forever now known as the triple D?
Well, I guess we're only getting it like this time though. So I mean, if it would be an ongoing holiday and every year we could sort of look forward to it, then fuck yeah, why not?
I campaigned for an annual Triple D Day.
Yeah,
fuck yeah.
Who doesn't love a Triple D?
What's it?
Jeez, Glennie.
What does a Triple D mean to you, Glennie?
Nate got it. It's all good. Maybe J100 will find out at the meetup.
Glennie loves it. Glennie loves it if they. Glennie loves it when they. Yeah.
Unfortunately, titties, if I'm involved, titties so big. Two of the D's are capital, one of them's a little one.
Titties so big that you need a digger to scoop them up. That's Glennie's motto.
Oh fuck! We got here early.
We did.
Welcome to you, listeners.
Did you do anything fun on your Triple D day, Glennie?
Had a bit of a relaxing day, to be honest. Did a little bit of work this morning and then had some lunch and then set up the recliner chairs out in the sun in the backyard with my wife. We both read our books and...
Yeah, I saw your missus out there having a read of the book. Yeah. I mean, like on Facebook and with my drone and telescope.
I'm sure she would have much preferred me sitting next to you in this sun.
With your James Bond style satellite orbiting. Just enhance.
Well, of course, enhance. To my wife. If Nate was spying on her with a drone, it wouldn't be creepy at all to get a Nate giggle. Oh, Nathan.
Oh, he's such a character.
More importantly, Nathan. What are you reading, Glennie? What are you reading these days?
Right at the minute, I just finished it today, but my yoga instructor gave me one of his books to read. It was a bit of his story. And so, I sat down and read that today. And other than that, I'm reading...
Hang on. Did you say a history or it's his story? As in you just read a Toowoomban yoga instructor's autobiography?
No, well, he's actually well-travelled. He's from New Zealand and... He's been all around the world.
After he fell off a scaffold, he fucking started yoga to rehabilitate himself.
This is a problem when I'm on. See, it's not something you guys can relate to because you're both fucking pieces of shit trying to pretend you're something you're not. But I'm just such an honest motherfucker that I have to tell the truth. So when you ask me what I'm reading, I have to tell you what I'm reading. I should have just made something. No, you're not. You're a cunt. You don't have any interest at all. You're just trying to leverage into something to do exactly what you're doing right fucking now, and you take your little bearded fucking cunt mate along with you for the ride.
If I had to guess, I would have said, I thought your answer would be, it'd be like a biography of somebody.
I thought it would be like a sporting.
Not necessarily sport, because I know you had the Matthew McConaughey book, you know, yes. Like the other year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've got that book as well. And I thought it'd be something like that. Like it'd be some sort of.
My other book at the minute is Think Like a Monk, Jay Shetty, which I fucking have been struggling to find the time. I've even taken up as an audio book because.
Who's that guy's name? That name's familiar. Who's
Jay Shetty? He was a monk, and now he's a public figure and
from New Zealand, right.
Sort of. No, he's actually from England, of Indian descent. So oh, from New Zealand. And
He's not Jay Shitty, the one that we fucking wound up with in Brisbane.
Yeah. And he's not from Toowoomba, so he's not Joe Schnitty.
God. But I'll tell you what, man, I'm not hating on audiobooks. They are 100% an effective way to get the knowledge in. 100%.
Yeah, I find it far easier to take in than sitting down and reading.
Back to Toowoomba.
Here we go. Yoga instructor. Let's go back to there, shall we? Yep.
It's like Wild Wild Country, the sequel.
Do they...
You watch that on Netflix, Glennie?
No.
Do they
why the fuck do I do this?
Like, do they localize the poses? Like, you know, is there like tie the tourniquet and inject the meth? Is that the...
Oh, you fucking ignorant cunt. No.
Did you do like today, like because of today's public holiday, did you do like, you know, the downward facing dead fucking dog?
Fuck. Can you just not?
Okay, we're going to start.
It's been
off
a
today.
Long year as a Tigers fan, and I've had to come and talk to you cunts twice a week. And
let me say this:
it's just relentless.
Let me say this, Glennie. Last night you pulled the pin on recording, like as we were supposed to be recording, and so you've given us like 24 hours to just get an extra fucking run up.
Oh, like DK Lilly from the fucking Randwick end.
Well, I mean, you know, you need to make it like, you know, topical. It's like, you know, like I fed a Paleocena coming off the. He's not coming off the back fence though. He's
but
coming.
Shortly,
he's outside of the concourse,
the
running
contact.
Down the tunnel.
Just before the contact, he's like, "No, that's not far enough. I need to go back further." Fuck. Oh, good times.
It's Mark Tukey coming from the fucking Macca's car park.
That's good times. Good times.
It is. It is good times. May as well get into some league chat.
Let's do it.
Let's.
As these shows go at this time of the season, the amount of games each week reduces. the amount of previews reduces. So this one
running time, same.
Yeah, well, yeah. Time will tell.
You
I mean,
just
we did get through
on
7 minutes.
7 minutes yeah. About my fucking yoga instructor's book.
And Glennie, I thank you because I mean that's 7 minutes that a. That's 7 minutes that we probably needed on this episode. And B, it's 7 minutes that everyone else is not going to get back. And I take a special kind of pride and satisfaction in that as well.
Oh, goodness me.
What's happening in the wide world footy?
I tell you, did you guys the other night, I forget what day it was now, but I'm fucked up this week with the timing. Did you watch the Mario Fennec thing when it was on Channel 7?
I read the story on, was it NRL.com? But I didn't actually watch the program.
I saw some people tweeting and stuff as it was kind of on whatever the show. I think it's got a spotlight or something like that on Channel 7. It was like Michael Usher, just like sort of a, you know, like a deep dive on a story sort of thing. And so I sort of went looking for it and found it on the 7 app. So I was probably watching it, you know, like half an hour after, you know, after it would be, it'd been on sort of thing. I'll tell you what, pretty fucking confronting. Hey, mate, Mr. The old Falcon is pretty fucked, eh?
Really? Like,
I mean, I've seen some tweets on that he's made recently, where you just think, yeah, you know, it's not all, you know, you go ho ho ho. I mean, you know, he's got fucking, you know, like CTE sort of situation. No, he's like proper.
It's turned into oh fuck, he's got CTE.
He's got early onset dementia. Like he's proper fucked. Like his specialist that they sort of interviewed and they sort of showed him and Jeff Fennec going to get their you know their scans done and all that sort of thing and chat about them, and his professional deal who he's dealing with. She said that he's got like the brain of like an 80-year-old dementia.
Wow.
Patient at that, and he's 60 now. It's weird. I mean, like it's weird to think that he's 60, but yeah. and but yeah, he's like at the point where he's not like in total need of care, but he's, you know, like outings with a carer a couple of times a week, and you know, like, yeah, his missus got a lot on the plate. It's a pretty fucked story, hey? Like, and like when, and because he's, you know, getting this, you know, the CTE sort of stuff is sort of, it's obviously been, you know, encroaching and, you know, progressing for, you know, years now. And so just things like, you know, he sort of let the, like, the life insurance policies and shit lapse because, you know, he was in charge of that shit, but, you know, he's losing it.
Yeah, right.
And just doesn't realize. And so, you know, so there's a massive burden on his family, you know, particularly his missus, with what she's, you know, facing, you know, potentially, like, within the next, you know, 5 years, he's going to be, like, you know, completely requiring care, you know, so.
Oof.
But
65, you know, yeah. Like, that's...
Yeah, well, they had situations like his son was getting married, and it was something he was really looking forward to, and he'd sort of, you know, he'd wake up in the morning and be like, great, you know, this, you know, today's the day, and they do the wedding, and, you know, they have a great time, and, you know, his wife wasn't sure if he'd get up and do a speech, and he sort of got up with her, and then he sort of took over and did a speech, and it was great, and it was a great memory for everyone involved. Fast forward to the next day, he wakes up. Like, is the wedding today?
Yeah.
You know, which is just like a massive fucking, you know, gut punch, right?
Yeah, fuck.
So that's, like, that's the level. I mean, I don't think, I mean, you know, you could see that, you know, yeah, he wasn't 100% right, but I had no, like, you know, I don't think anyone was really aware of it, you know, outside of his circle, obviously, but until this, you know, this story came, you know, it came out on that program, and it was like... pretty fucking ordinary, and man,
you know, and
now,
I guess
now the CTE things, like, now it's even more amped up. I mean, because we've absolutely had, you know, players, you know, yeah, spending time out, retiring early, and all that sort of thing because of it. But like, because of the TV profile that Mario had, yeah, he's a very famous guy in the world of rugby league,
mm-hmm.
because of the, you know, his time on the Footy Show and everything, and so he's going to be probably the person that shines the spotlight on it seriously, and, like, you know, the most seriously that we've seen for the game.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah.
I think it's, so, you know, all the talk, you know, and the speculation about legal ramifications and from a financial perspective from the game is one thing, but when you actually see the real-time effects on guys that we all grew up watching play, and you know, 60's not an old man, and to think by the time he's 65, retirement age, when he should be, you know, getting into that, you know, that later chapter of and being able to enjoy his, you know, we all expect to be enjoying a retirement, he's going to potentially need full-time care, and it's fucking tragic, and... you know, I'm sure that it's, you know, like you say, with Mario's case in particular, and then obviously there'll be others to come with the increased focus on CTE and the effects. And as we learn more about it as well, that's the other thing, is that we still don't know all there is to know about it. So there's going to be more players and more recognisable figures that, you know, with stories just like Mario's, it's fucking tragic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you see, like, Royce as well. I mean, he's you know, suffering the same sort of thing, I think.
Yeah.
And yeah, and that's, like, you know, same sort of generation. And that's the thing too. Like, it's just his brain, because, like, physically speaking, I mean, like, you know, in the story, you know, they're showing him, like, he works out. That's one of the things he can sort of control and, you know, try and, you know, prolong, you know, or hold off the symptoms, you know, from worsening as much as he can. I mean, the dude is still, like, he doesn't look like a 60-year-old. Like, I mean, he's still in, you know, in great shape and everything, but, man, mentally, though, fucking terrible.
Mm.
And it's a different sort of tragic to, say, the Alex McKinnon side of things. Like, that's something that, you know, obviously it sucks that the guy will never walk again. But at 60, to lose who you are and to lose the ones you love and hold dear, that's a pretty fucking haunting series of events. Especially to a guy who, like you said, was in the limelight and seemed pretty switched on. Like, I know they always used to fuck around with him and make fun of him.
And that was part of it as well. That was part of the story as well. Yeah, that's it. Talking about the like, because he was starting to sort of display symptoms and he was a bit, you know, they kind of, that, you know, they played up that character on the, and was giving him shit. And as to hear his wife tell the story, they were like she was furious at, like, the entire time on the footage show, because, you know, it was like they were the clique, and they were sort of like, you know, he was their Glennie, I suppose. And,
Glennie O'Fennick.
But, how fucking dare you?
Sorry, mate.
Glennie, what are you talking about? We're doing the game reviews.
What show is this again?
Yes. I'll tell you what though, Glennie, something that will switch you right back on.
Give you guns a couple of fucking head knocks.
It might bar you up here, but it's being reported that the West Tigers are interested in bringing Mitchell Moses back to the club on a deal worth over $1 million a season. Genius. And Benj, they are determined to rekindle things with not just one, but two who got away. Benji has contacted both Moses and Tedesco about a Leichhardt homecoming. So they're also chasing Cameron Munster on a deal worth $1.4 million a season. He hits the open market on the 1st of November and will probably become the highest player in the game at the conclusion of it.
Hang on, that's a Freudian slip. The highest player. Is it going to be another white powder scandal?
The highest paid player. Well, I mean, you know, look, from all my experience, yeah, maybe he may be the highest player and highest paid player. And with Mitchell Moses knocking back an offer from the Broncos last year that was worth around $1 million a season, Tigers are going to have to come in north of that.
What's the equivalent in Concord or Campbelltown of a salary sombrero? A salary fucking backward flat brim hat?
Look. I mean, obviously they're not getting Munster.
Listen,
like, you know what? It's more far more era. Likely they get zero. It's far more likely they get zero.
100%. It's 100% likely that they get zero, and Luke Brooks still trots out in the fucking seven.
No sombrero required. Then
it's their salary hat with a propeller on top.
You can wear a yarmulke. Like, yeah.
Look, these things, you know, the West Tigers are still making headlines in the off-season. They're in Bali. But
I saw a Parramatta fan today, or yesterday on Twitter, going, talking about, you know, how that internal report story and everything with Parramatta and the nepotism and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I saw a Parramatta fan without a trace of fucking irony say, oh, the media always fucking sticks it to us because, you know, we get the clicks. Fuck off, Clint. Like,
yeah.
They rarely say, number one, with a fucking bullet, you're West Tigers. Yeah,
exactly.
Number two, Manly, whenever they want to fucking play the old boardroom fucking, you know, split routine. Eels wouldn't even be in the top five.
Not at all.
For that shit.
Not
get
at all.
Get the fuck out of here. Sorry, Glenn. Yeah, please continue your thoughts on Moses coming back home.
Look, the form that he's in at the moment is fucking brilliant. That's great. And probably a comment that I was going to make in the game review / preview is Mitchell Moses fucking looks absolutely amazing when he's running downhill. Unfortunately, the West Tigers don't do a lot of running downhill. And
the West Tigers, when they set a platform, we sort of mean like it's below sea level.
Yes.
It's like Mitch. Mitch will be running sand dunes.
Forever. Forever. You'll never not be running sand dunes. Look, the idea of a Tedesco, Munster, Moses, Appy, Spine, with the true linchpin of the club, Jackson Hastings at the 13. Please. Please, Isaiah Papali'i wouldn't know what hole to run into. It wouldn't matter where he run, he gets the ball untouched. It's fucking gold. Imagine it. Just fucking a Matt Spoon. That's what we're getting. More spoons. We're going to get so spoons.
Not the premiership.
We're going to get spoons before we get any of those players. So, but it's funny to think that you could just imagine. Could you imagine the epic fuck up that the Tigers could potentially make of signing James Tedesco, Mitchell Moses, Cameron Munster, Appy Coruscant, who's already coming, having Jackson Hastings, Utu Ikemano in the front row. Oh, fucking Jesus. And still managed to fuck it up. Like, fucking, it's Tiger Town. Bring it back.
Yeah, it is.
Bring it back.
Seriously, though, I think the issue they have is all of these fucking leaks that keep getting out, it's going to hurt their fucking credibility.
Who's the leaker at the Tigers?
Well, to be fair though, Jay, that I'll let you in on a little hint. They don't have any credibility. You can't hurt something. That's like saying, "Well, if you do this, it's going to hurt my hair. It's not going to have any impact on my hair. But, I don't have any."
And yeah, here's the thing: for every report that's, "Oh, they're trying to get this player, they're trying to get this player, they're trying to get this player," you can afford to not get maybe one, maybe two top-tier players before you are now a poison destination. And I understand that they're not a first-choice destination at the moment anyway. I don't think they're going to be while Pascoe's around.
What about the war chest?
There is no war chest. but if it's
in the barbershop.
If they
the war chest is on Justin Pascoe and in tattooing it says no advance.
Currently using it as a seat in the barbershop.
It's just his favourite Pirates of the Caribbean poster in his office.
It's actually a little toy chest in his office, and that's where he keeps the show bags for Harry.
Remember those money boxes?
Yeah.
You used to press the button and the hand would come out, and you drop the coin into the hand and it takes it back in. One of them.
Oh,
fucking hell.
But wait, there's more. For you, Jay, this one. Glennie, you can take a knee.
Got it.
Brian Toto.
Oh, Toto.
He's going to trigger a bidding war. He's off contract at the end of next year, free to negotiate with clubs from November the 1st. And so you've also got guys like Stephen Crichton, Liam Martin, and Spencer Lanier, who are also going to field offers from rivals. And, obviously this is the problem that the Panthers are going to face.
100%.
I mean, they probably got an extra year free of it all just because of the fact that they had these guys locked in from, juniors.
Yeah.
You know, for a large part.
Yep.
They want to keep Toto, so that's partially, why Charlie Staines is getting offered around to all and sundry to be a fullback for the West Tigers.
Yes.
but yes. Another one.
You're right.
Up in the auction block.
It's just par for the course. You get success.
Mm.
And I think, unfortunately, it goes to the, and dare I say it, yes, I dare, ignorance of rugby league roster management. There's this thing that comes around and they think that, oh, okay, so that person there, they're fucking great now, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing at all to do with the systems and the club and the training staff and the support staff and the players around that player. It's all, that player's results are all only that player. And so if we just bring them to our club, they will do exactly what they've done there over here. Now, while that's true with a small portion of just naturally talented players or players that would do that everywhere.
Not necessarily wingers though, right?
Yeah, apply it to halves and maybe. Wingers, it doesn't fucking matter what a winger does.
Mm.
Well, there's no winger worth a million
here's
bucks.
Here's the thing. Biz is 100% great for yardage.
Yep.
However, he's now playing in a team whose entire game plan revolves around the beginning of almost every set of the match being taken by backs.
Yep.
So he's great at what he does. But put him into a team that plays a more traditional style of football where the forwards are getting back for tackles three and up.
And you've got a winger taking up a better part of $1 million on your salary cap doing fuck all.
And you know what? At the fucking heart of it, I would love for those guys to stay 100%. But you've won a premiership.
That's what I'm thinking too. You won a premiership. You've done what your career. You've reached the goal of professional or, you know, like on field glory. I mean, would you like to win a premiership every year? Sure, everyone would.
Yep, 100%.
But you've got that ring now and you can't have that feeling like, say, like a Steve Roach or someone had where it's like you got close, didn't get it, and have to live with that for the rest of your days. You know?
Exactly. So that's the thing. You've won your premiership. You've represented your state. You've represented your nation. Go chase the
not just represent. You know, and you've won Origin.
Yeah.
You know, you've won all these things. You know what all those things feel like. Get fucking paid.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, you have a fucking, and this going on from the fucking Mario Fennec conversation.
Mm. Yeah.
You have a very fucking short window to make money in this heavy contact environment. While your body holds out, fucking chase it, son.
Earn as much money as you can before you forget where the window is.
That's it, yeah.
Right, let's move on to some games. And as we said, shorter week. And this week, regrettably, wasn't like last the last round of finals games where every game had, you know, this magnificent amazing quality to it. That, like, you know, it was extra time, you know, it was golden point. It was, a huge upset. You know, and so on and so on. It was an absolute blood feud, fucking played out on a rugby league field. This week was really just two absolute monumental fucking ass kickings in which the opposition were never in the game. And first one was the Eels 40 defeating the Raiders 4 at Combank Stadium. The Eels 40 came through tries to Penasini, Moses, Opacek, Blake, Polo, and a double to Murata Nukore. Moses 5 conversions, 1 penalty goal. The Raiders 4 a try to Xavier Savage. And very much against the run of play, individually brilliant, which went unconverted by Fogarty. And that is the end of the Raiders.
I thought the Raiders were pretty flat to start the game. And in contrast, Parra came out with a huge amount of energy. And they got their first try after about 6 minutes or so. And that started the roll. And Canberra never looked like pulling it back. That Parra just continued to roll forward through the middle easily, and then Moses and Brown were they were pretty fucking brilliant, to be quite honest, and just carved them up. I don't know how much of it was to do with Canberra's performance last week, whether it was too much of an adrenaline dump and trying to get back up for this game, which, you know, given, you know, in the last several years Canberra's played in some big finals games, with their current...
They've had to be up for such a long time, I think, and they just reached their expiry, their use-by date for the season. And they came against a team that was, you know, relatively poor last week, and, you know, sudden death, window closing.
Well, yeah, it looked like a team that was in the top four playing a team that scraped into the eight by virtue of other results, you know, in the final round. Taking nothing away from what Canberra did the week before, that was their performance of the season, I think, to get in there and play that game against Melbourne. And if I'm doing a recap of that season as a Raiders fan, that game says, well, fuck me, if you're capable of that, and given they had some injury worries in the halves this year, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, you can build on that. But Parramatta were there to play a finals game.
They were
there to play with an intensity to get into the grand final qualifier. So
that's it. And I mean, I don't know what else, you know, what else to really say. I mean, because just by the virtue of the fact that, like, the Raiders were never in the game, they blasted out to like 22-0. When they did score, I mean, it was a brilliant solo opportunistic run, you know, for a long range try there from Savage, especially after that horrible fucking, like, one of those highlight reel, low light reel situations with the bouncing ball when it just clean bowled him. And, yeah, like, it just felt terrible. I mean, that's and as soon as that happened, I was just like, you just start hearing like flashbacks in the back of your head, like Ricky Stewart saying that, you know, he's got to teach these, you know, guy to play first grade. I think, oh, fucking.
The interesting thing to me, and this is where I'd be a little bit disappointed in Ricky. What were Parramatta's biggest weak points the week before? Right, it was fucking Wonga Bean under the high ball.
Yep.
And Parramatta, you know, coming in, trying to shut down a second rower. There was nothing aimed at any of Parramatta's weak points. Absolutely nothing. There was nothing.
Yeah,
put
I mean, apart from trying to exploit, you know, Blake. I didn't
see a bunch of bombs going at him.
No. That's. I mean, they didn't do that. But having said that as well, he was up. I mean, like, you know, with he got himself a try and had a great. That was a great bounce back from him. I mean, his fortunes were the team's fortunes. I mean, he bounced right back. The team bounced right back. The only, you know, potential down point on the Eels' entire performance was when, you know, they brought Moses back. They rushed him back in for the game, and then, you know, he sort of took a shot late in the game as well. And you're thinking, oh fuck, here we go. You know, you can't have him. Yeah, he can't be taking too many shots because he's going to get ruled out or actually be legitimately
concussed.
Unable to play, and all these games from this point on, you know, they're all sudden death, you know, for a month straight. So, but yeah, other than that, I mean, this, like, it's extremely, you know, comprehensive victory for the Eels. There's really nothing you could say to diminish it. You know, diminish it. I mean, they just, you know, back up and, you know, get ready for the, you know, for a bigger game next week.
Yeah, spot on. Socials, Rishi, he said, by getting hit in the face with the ball, Jacob Arthur has already played better than he did last week against the Panthers. Andrew, Wonga Blake is to Parra's grand final winning chances what Brett Finch is to the Coogee Wombats. Close, but not going to happen. Oh, damn. Oh, my fucking God. Oh, hang on. Shunter's dad came in.
Shunter's angry, other mum.
Angry at Vossi. Said he's allowed to finish his tackle, not with a forearm to the head. Now, this was talking about that tackle by White and on Moses, where there was initial contact made. Moses has ricocheted off and then gotten up to run again. Well, looked as if he was going to run again before he just fell over.
Mm.
And White's come in and finished the tackle off and has slammed him into the ground, slammed the head into the ground.
Yep.
Did you guys think there was anything in that?
Honestly, I'm struggling even to remember the
incident. It was when Moses was sent off.
I remember the tackle. The initial contact. I don't remember a forearm to the head, clearly, but Shunter's other mum wouldn't lie, though.
Yeah, fair enough. Ben said, simply outclassed tonight, but proud of the turnaround after being in Spoon Talks 3 months ago. John said, boys, on the show you said that Canberra had belief, and that was the difference in the Melbourne game. Tonight, two early mistakes and we lost the belief. It's been one hell of a rollercoaster ride this year for Raiders fans. Bloody well sucks to lose so badly. Yeah, you're right. The belief was there against Melbourne and really wasn't against this one. Josh, Raiders gave more to this year's comp than any other team. We made sure, fuck the Broncos weren't in the eight, and kicked out fuck the Storms in weeks one. You're all welcome.
Yeah, that's true. I'll give you credit to
kudos,
that.
Kudos.
And Ricky. Jacob Arthur has now played more finals games than David Nofaluma. That's it.
Right. Then the other game, the South Sydney Rabbitohs 38 defeated the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks 12 at Allianz Stadium. And the Sharks, the Rabbits tries to Nichols, Murray, Ilias, Walker with Tane Milne, a double. Mitchell, 6 conversions from as many attempts and a penalty goal. The Sharks, 12 tries to Nikora and Mulitalo with Hines, 2 conversions.
I thought Murray's try right on half time was a huge moment in the game, the softness of it.
Yeah, it was.
And then, to their credit, Cronulla scored just after half time, and then they had a try. Pulled back where they would have gone back to back and made a real game of it. And that moment there swung all the momentum back to South. And I think that that period of the game, just before and just after half time, South obviously with the rub of the green, and they then went up their end and scored, and it kind of deflated the Sharks, and they were never in the game from there. Big game again. Some big moments for Latrell, and keeps putting himself in positions in these big games to influence the result, which is dangerous for any team that Souths are up against. And I thought, and we said it during the member side as well, that Ilias in this game was, he just played with a confidence, and, you know, I think for the large part of this season, he's really deferred to Walker and Murray and Cook, and he's played a bit of a bit part as he's developed his game in first grade, given it's his first year. But this game in particular, he really stood up to be counted and had a great performance, which is an additional factor for South. You know, they've got obviously Latrell above all else. Walker's seems to be, whilst South are going well, seems to be more focused on playing well and trying to keep out of the nick. And then you've got Cook doing what he does, and then obviously Murray is hugely influential. So to see Ilias step up the way that he did and really take some control of the team is a really positive sign for South. But I was pretty impressed with how the Rabbits handled Cronulla, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, Sharks, they weren't out of the game to the extent that the Raiders were out of their game.
Yeah, not at all.
But even to be down 12-0 for that period in the first half, I mean, they were defending for their fucking lives. And, like, unbelievably so. And then, for like you said, that for Murray to just split them the way he did, that signal was the end of it. And ultimately, you know, apart from, an intercept, you know, they scored one.
Yeah,
you know, well constructed try.
Well, that's South Sydney in the finals really... game. Just chalked it. There's at least one a game of those.
Well, yeah,
yes,
it's true. I mean, they happen on the same side of the field too. So, yeah.
And it,
you got anything to say? Yet?
Cronulla will be better for the run. You know, they again, along with the Cowboys, were the big improvers this year, or probably finished the year above where almost everyone had put them.
Yeah.
And it was a mixture of inexperience and probably more crucially, inexperience in leadership. You know, they've got a team of young guys looking for a leader, and Nicho Hynes has quite firmly put his hand up and said, I'll be your guy. However, mm-hmm. he's still inexperienced in that role. So
yep.
there's some growth for him to do there. He doesn't have that switched on halves partner. So, you know, look at Nathan Cleary. So the reason that he evolved into such an effective leader is because Penrith was smart enough to offload their dead wood, like Matt Moylan, to obtain an experienced leader like James Maloney. So that was all part of the long game that they played that ended up winning them a premiership, whereas Cronulla have just been left with an absolutely fucking impotent number six that doesn't do anything to inspire the next generations of leaders. So it's just now been so firmly fucking decided that Penrith won the trade, and nothing more ever needs to be said on the topic.
I swear to God, I mean, Jimmy Maloney has been doing fucking blow in the fucking and drinking fucking Bordeaux for like 2 years. His name still keeps coming up. Oh. I mean, well, you may have won the trade. I mean, you know the side effect of winning it is that you guys clearly fucking fell in love with him so truly and deeply that you'll never forget him.
I tell you, your first is always most memorable, but you always got a soft spot for the ugly friend that said, yeah, go on, he's all right.
Socials.
Joe. He said, two loser teams followed by loser fans, Penrith by 50. Oh, fuck, I love going off early. That's fucking great.
Yeah, that'll never backfire.
Greg, you said, finish second and out in straight sets. Oh, well, at least I'll have plenty of tears for lube for the next few days. Man, I think finish second is the fucking fact you should be focusing on there. That is a fucking good outcome for that side.
Leave the straight sets for the the rest of the NRL to focus on.
Yeah, that's it. Troy, happy with the season. Performed better than I expected throughout. Easy to say out in straight sets, but against two of the top teams in red-hot form, been calling it for quite a while that we had some false form, and it showed against the top teams. Directionless in attack this week, and none of the usual Cronulla grit and dragging the other team into a dogfight. Yeah, there you go. Gus, every game I've watched the Sharks play this year that has a lot of hype with it or is against a big club they've not performed. Second in the league is false reading, helped by playing big clubs at origin time and not playing every team home and away. That said, a big step forward from last year. And I think that's what you need to take out of it. Sharks fans, it's easy to be dejected, but like there is a fucking very close alternate universe where you guys missed, you were the Canberra, you know, or worse, you were the Broncos. So don't be too fucking hard on yourself.
That's it for your socials?
That's us.
Okay, so we move along to week three of the 2022 final series. And the first game, Friday night, the North Queensland Cowboys take on the Parramatta Eels up there at the Abattoir in Townsville. Cowboys side, unchanged from last week's game. Granville moves into the squad in jersey 20. And so we've had the 24-hour warning because we're recording on Thursday, and so the Cowboys 1-17 for now. The Eels, they have lost Makatoa on the bench. Cartwright comes in for him. Now, who we got out? Opacek is out, and Bailey Simonson becomes a late inclusion in jersey 19, playing in the centres. Can the Eels go up there to North Queensland, face down the home crowd for the Cowboys at their happy hunting ground and get themselves into a grand final? I mean, I saw Parramatta fans last week crying actual tears that they got in to the prelim.
Really? Oh, fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus, fuck.
So clearly the most important game out Parramatta way isn't rugby league, it's fucking limbo, because there's a massively low bar out there.
Oh god! Look, with the form Parramatta have been in, and then thinking back to that finals game that the Cowboys played, I don't think minimal defence is the strategy to get in and beat Parramatta. So that Cowboys side is going to have to get back to what earned them their place in the top four at the beginning of the season when they first started to rise above the other teams in the top eight and have people actually start to take them seriously as a contender. That was built on the back of defence.
Yes. You know,
they scored some magnificent tries and had fucking forwards leaping through the air like fucking Superman to catch balls, but they really defended, especially on their try line.
Yeah, and it was something that I can't remember what the bracket was, but it was something like there was a period there through the through to the middle of the season or past Origin where like they hadn't conceded a point or between like the the 30th and the 60th minute of games or something. I can't remember what the actual bracket was, but it was something like that.
Yeah.
That obviously changed.
Yeah. That's
it.
I think the Cows can do it, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the Cowboys, especially the fact that they're at home up there, it's going to be the crowd's going to be wild.
Yeah.
And I legitimately think that the Cowboys have just got a few strike weapons, such as Taumalolo in particular. Can I also quickly point out,
in Townsville right now, it's 24 degrees with 84% humidity.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, they're training that sauna year round.
Yeah, that's it. And you remember the last time Parramatta decided to take a regional game when they played the Cowboys? They went to Darwin. and just yep. took a fucking bath.
And that was the first surprising result of the Cowboys season, actually. Yeah, for when sure. they fucking smashed them.
Yeah.
So. No, I'm tipping the Cowboys. I think they'll be too strong.
I'm tipping the Cowboys because I want them to win.
Yes, so do I.
Just fuck the Eels. But look, this is the thing. I mean, like the Cowboys aren't going to, they're certainly not going to have any fear of Parramatta in terms of matching up the way they match up in the forwards. And I think for the key for the Cowboys is really just to get off to a great start, because whether Parramatta fans, you know, whether they would want to admit it or not, if you can do something to take Moses and Gutherson out of the game by beating them badly or something like that, that can be the winning of a game.
Yeah.
Right there. I mean, they can have these games where they are absolutely incredible, particularly Moses, and he's got the ball on a string and everything comes off and he just leads the team. But there are also games where he gets trampled by someone, by a back rower, and you know, you don't hardly get a shot out of him again.
Yeah.
So that's the most, and especially with the home crowd, I mean, if they can get off to a great start and have that crowd with them the whole time, it's going to be difficult, I think, for the Eels to pull it back, especially as you mentioned as well, like you know, in the weather up there and the humidity that it does favor. I mean, you know, it's a true home game for the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's it.
Up there. And it's just like the whole, you know, it's a long travel, you know, for an away team and all these little things that make it a great home ground for the Cowboys.
Parra only got there today too.
Right.
They only flew into Townsville today.
Yeah, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing either, because you don't necessarily want to get caught up in the local town, you know, fanfare and everything like that, where it's just, you know, non-stop Cowboys 24/7 sort of thing.
But, exactly.
Look, but I mean, yeah, on the flip side, I mean, if the Eels can bust them like the Sharks did, you know, the previous game that they played, if the Eels can get their offloads going, like, straight away. This is one of the mystifying things I've seen against the Eels. The amount of success they have with the offload, I mean, it's pretty much the driving force behind, you know, their wins.
Yeah.
But there are some games where they don't really start cracking them out until like 20 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And so they really need to start in a positive, you know, in a positive manner, playing to their strengths. And look, you know, the Eels can win it. I mean, they've got a huge burden of history, you know, and pressure and expectation from the fan base on their shoulders. Yeah. Where the Cowboys are like fucking preseason spoon contenders. Yeah. They got nothing to lose. This is not the year they're supposed to win anything.
Yep.
So, and again, the humble pie, fucking Chad. Honestly, buy of the year, just considering the pressure on that buy.
Yeah.
I mean, and the derision from us and everyone else, mind you. I mean, holy fuck.
I will say, and he's a premiership winning player and all the rest of it, did not think he had a season like this in him.
No, and like that, and let's be fair. I mean, he hasn't been spectacular. He has been the calm, experienced guy that has allowed Dearden to develop into the player that he was supposed to be when he started his career at the Broncos.
What he hasn't been is all the stuff that caused everyone to hate him and say that it was a really bad deal and all the rest of it, and have Cronulla, you know, be
and
glad
I mean,
to
and
be
now, and like hindsight's a beautiful thing. But we can look back now and say, well, yeah, I mean, he was partnering Sean Johnson in the Sharks sides in a season where they had a caretaker coach. Because I mean, like, you look back and you go, well, you know, he wasn't exactly set up for success.
that year. And is the poster boy for a non-superstar half.
Yep.
You know, and look, obviously it helps. And having a great seven or an amazing six is definitely something you would rather have than not. But all Chad's gone out there and done is play very simple, consistent, high percentage football all year. He's just understood that his job is to make the ends of sets and the beginnings of the next one as advantageous for that team as he possibly can. And he's done that with consistency. So, yeah, he's had a great year.
All right, so we're on the record. Is it all three of us saying North Queensland?
Yep.
So getting your feels about that. Now, the first prelim game is on Saturday evening. The Penrith Panthers take on the South Sydney Rabbitohs at Aquos Stadium. The Panthers, they'll be missing Taylan May via suspension. Charlie Staines replaces him in the back line. Appy returns to starting hooker role. Kenny's benched. And the Rabbits. Jed Cartwright replaces Saliva Havili, who is injured, replaces him on the bench. Otherwise, both sides, as you'd expect to see them.
I think South's bench is light on, which is a concern for me.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I thought the same last week too. You know, like when you look at the, you know, like, you know, Cheekhams and Nicaremas and stuff on the bench, like,
yeah, but did they need them? Though? You know,
maybe not last week. They fucking certainly will this week.
And this is the thing. Looking at,
and they could really use Burgess this week.
Mm. Looking at last week's game, South Sydney completed at 68%.
Yep.
And they won that game by virtue of the fact that Cronulla completed at 62%.
Mm.
So they're not going to be able to complete at that level. And it's their handling this year that's been deciding in a lot of their fortunes. They're not going to be able to go out there and have a 68% game and wait on Penrith to gift them with opportunities.
Well, Penrith's never going to have a 62% handling game, you know.
Mm. But so, having said that as well, I mean, if they can have a 68% handling game and put close to 40 points on the scoreboard as well, then, you know, it kind of balances it out a little bit. But
it does. But what I'm saying,
but yeah, you can't win against the series end.
You can do that if you drop the ball and give another set to your opponent, and then they drop the ball the next set as well because they're completing at 62% lower than you.
Yeah.
Your mistakes don't matter.
Yeah.
Whereas if you give away cheap possession and then all of a sudden they camp on your try line, have four repeat sets, even if they don't score points, they take four sets worth of gas out of you.
Mm.
You know, and this is that thing that Penrith are very good at. Cool. We'll just do whatever the game presents to us and we'll do it very well. And then at the end of the game, we'll have far more in the tank than you do and we'll be able to go up a gear and up a gear and up a gear. Stay with us. You know? I've read a lot this week about people being on Luttrell for not being involved enough and needing to do this and needing to do that and needing to do this. He doesn't need to be involved in things like kick return or any of that stuff when his biggest benefit to that team is from 15 metres out and closer being up and involved in the offensive line. And that he fucking does with regularity and commitment.
And if you want to talk about, you know, the involvement of Luttrell Mitchell, you can break it down even more. You can simplify this. When he was out of the game,
yeah,
his involvement in the club, in the team, on the field is zero.
Yep.
And they were looking like they were going to miss the eight.
Yeah.
When he's on the field,
they're
a game away from a fucking grand final and looking like, you know, like, yeah, certainly in terms of like momentum and things like that. I mean, they've been looking like that, you know, for weeks now.
Yeah.
You know, so like, fuck, he's like, you know, you know, his returns on kicks and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, what he means to that side is far more than just the things you can quantify on stat lines.
And it's not as if they were pinned in their own half. I would understand if they just eked out a win or, you know, it's a regular season game and it was a loss because they were beaten in the territory battle. Oh, well, if Luttrell had gotten in and taken some more tough carries and, you know, just when they needed him, they fucking didn't need him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? It's like being angry at your fucking general for not using the nuclear weapons when your fucking opponents have bows and arrows.
Mm.
Like, yeah. Jesus.
Well, you've already overrun them with your fucking cavalry. Yeah,
that's
it.
Exactly.
Look, by no means is this game a certainty, and Penrith need to be on. Like I said last week, this is last year's grand finalist. And for every ounce of motivation that Penrith had last year to get there and make it their own, Souths have exactly that this year. And this is the team that took it away from them. So you talk about getting up for big games and motivations, and Luttrell's got the extra that he wasn't there for that one.
Yep.
You know, and the fucking sliding doors, what if...
Which I think is massive, at least for Luttrell personally, but also for the whole South team.
But Penrith need to be on for this.
Mm.
And they need to be on for 80 minutes. Because one thing that's very hard is a Souths with their fucking sail up, coming home strong with confidence, there's fucking 30 points and a half in that team.
Yeah.
Jay, you talk about... We know what we're getting with Penrith, you know.
Yeah, that's it.
We know exactly what we're going to get.
Ceilings and floors of teams, and there's no denying that Penrith's ceiling is the highest in the comp, and
correct,
you know, their floor is, you know, is not, you know, they don't drop too far from that
that's
level.
It. Yeah, that's it.
Whereas South can have a bludger of a game in them, and they've shown that over the course of the season, less so at the pointy end, but. I think Penrith should win, but I've said it for a few weeks. I just have this thing that, for whatever it is, whatever fucking dust has been sprinkled, you know, magic dust has been sprinkled over Luttrell in the States, and the way that he's come back, and he's just had a knack in almost every game since he's come back to find a way to influence the result in South's favour. And he's done it in these bigger games.
Yep.
And he's reveling in the contest, in the, you know, the media scrutiny. He's not shying away. It's not getting under. It doesn't seem to be getting under his skin. He seems to be, you know, other than the gripe about the booing, but you know, you saw him playing up to the crowd and stuff last week.
Yeah, 100%.
He's just on, and I think Penrith are that good, and their systems, and they're all about the systems and the structures, and the individuals in that team are so perfectly matched, and to the coaching that they get, and the way that the team is compiled, it's a perfect storm of a rugby league team, if you will. Just the way that they're put together, and the time that they've played together since they were juniors and all that, it's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, 100%.
Just the Luttrell factor for me, and it seems, you know, but we've seen one player, we've seen it with, you know, the Andrew Johns or the Jonathan Thurstons, or the players, individual players can make up for a lot when their team isn't quite at the same level as the opposition.
You know, you look at fucking poor Nate out here deriding his fucking halves, or his players throwing no-look passes all fucking season. Luttrell's out here putting fucking no-look grubbers in for, you know, levels. But,
I legitimately, and your point earlier about, and Penrith went through it, as you said, with losing one and then getting over that hump, and South last season without Luttrell, I just think there's got to be a conversation within that club, like they can't take this away from us again, we're all together now, you know, we're not getting fucked over, it's us versus the world, whatever.
It's no fucking secret that team on the field runs on emotion, you know, and
it can fuck them too.
You remember those old fucking video games where you had to keep pressing the button to keep like a needle in a zone, and or like in California games where you had to like left and right, otherwise you'd fall off your. No, that was Tony Hawk. We had to, you know, balance your fucking thing. That's exactly what they are, you know. But they're probably in the best position because they've gone into every single week, and whereas Canberra suffered from, well, we've got all that emotion in this game against Melbourne, and now we've got nothing left. That's South's bread and butter.
Mm.
Cool. Emotional. Up. Yep. Let's do it. No, don't deflate too much. Stay emotional for the next game. So I expect a big game from South, but Penrith should be too good.
This is the thing. This game is Rocky IV. Whereas, like, the Panthers are like the robotic Ivan Drago. Like, repeatable. You know exactly what you're going to get. And they just keep doing the same thing over and over and over, and eventually the same level the whole game. And eventually it's enough.
Mm.
You know, it's just a matter of how long you can sort of stay with it.
Yep.
Whereas the Rabbits, they're fucking trudging through the snow. They're hitting fucking sides of beef. and
chopping wood.
Can they? And look, I mean, I don't want to wish defeat on the Panthers, but I do want to wish defeat on them or Parramatta. If the Cowboys win on Friday night, then I'm happy for Panthers to win this by a billion. But for the sake of the fucking grand final, I cannot have fucking Parramatta versus Penrith because my fucking God. Like, no one wants to see that shit. Fucking nobody. So, yeah, all your strength, all your power. Give it everything you got. Listen to old Duke and fucking give it. But yeah, I think Panthers are going to, I mean, they should win. I mean, let's be realistic.
Yeah, that's it.
But momentum at the right time of year is a powerful thing. And, you know, we'll see. We will see.
Fuck it, I'm tipping Souths.
Oh, he's gone in for Souths. Well, I mean, you know, there's literally no fucking stakes, so you can say whatever name you want.
That's it.
You can hear the collective groan of every Souths fan go, this cunt's on us.
next Wednesday night, we're not going to remember what you said.
This is the cunt that said Charlie Staines was going to score a hat trick.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Charlie Staines being, you know, coming in for Taylor May, I mean, he does definitely weaken that left-hand side attack of the Panthers, which is, you know, the more susceptible side on the Rabbits defensively as well. So, you know, if that just, you know, fucks up some of their, you know, potential tries down that side coming off the back of, you know, kick out,
yep,
you know, yeah, making the break or, you I'll know, tell you, drawing that, some
that's
tackles
the other
his
risk.
Way.
I need him to have a calm kick out game. There's been a lot of fucking media attention on him and, you know, South saying that they hate him and they're going to target him and all of this stuff, and him getting out there now and going, yeah, I know that they hate me and I've got a job to do. He just needs to have a fucking calm game and not throw any dumb shit flick passes.
Because Souths can fucking drag a player into
fucking
a spicy
oath.
Game.
That's it. Anyway.
All right. So that is it for episode 495. Thanks for listening. As always, if you'd like to support the show, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/TwillNation. And this week, we've finally bit the bullet on the Discord, and there's just been slowly sort of seeding it out there to, you know, to patrons and a couple of people who are sort of, you know, around that space just to sort of test it and make sure it's been built out enough for the wider audience. And so we've probably got about 50 in there at the moment, and I think it's ready to go. So if you want to join the Discord, just head to thisweekinleague.com/links, and I've added the link there at the top of the screen, and things are about to be so much more organized. I mean, now in the Discord, we've got posts that only we can create for the mailbag. So for each episode, people can get in there. There'll be a mailbag post, and people can, you know, put their comments in there, and the mailbag stuff will live in there. When it comes, there are game threads. Only we can create the actual game threads themselves. And again, if you want your comments read on the show, you can dump them in there, and that's where they will stay. And then rather than the game threads devolving and becoming almost like live chat threads on the Facebook group, there's actually just there is area where you can just chat while games are on and go nuts. But then the actual game comments, you can chuck them in there where they belong. We have channels for every fan base: Super League, NRLW, World Cup, plus a bunch of general shit as well, and an area that's locked down for the members and the patrons. And if you have bought a supporters pack, make sure you let me know what your Discord name is so that you can be given member privileges. And if you're a patron, all you need to do is just hook up Discord with your Patreon, and it'll automatically assign you the roles that you need and everything like that, and give you access to those various areas for the members. If you are a member, you should have received either an email from me, or you can read it on your Patreon dashboard, but the location for the Saturday night members event has been locked in, and it has been revealed and sent out. So if you don't have that, send an email to business@thisweekinleague.com or hit me up on Facebook or whatever on the chat, and I can let you know. But otherwise, if you're on Patreon, just get in there. There's a post about it. There's a post about the one for our highest Patreon tier. There's a post about our Sunday morning one as well. So any questions, just hit us up on, you know, you can PM me on Discord. You can, you know, shoot me something on Messenger, on Facebook, whatever. And I will help you out. Send us an email, whatever. Anything else?
No.
Before we wrap this one up, boys.
Looking forward to the games.
Yeah, let's hope we get some. Like, and at the end of the day, I just want some classic games.
Yeah, that's it.
Like we got in week one. I don't want to see. I don't want like, you know, like 30 to not many in each of these games. Let's see some competitive quality rugby league, and
I will be watching grand final. The Panthers Rabbitohs game from Touch Football presentation night, where I'm hoping to scoop the pool in slowest winger in the club.
You're going to get the Brett Plowman Award. The Brett Plowman 2022. Award.
The why does that cunt look like he's running with no legs award. Yes, so I fucking look forward to taking that out.
So do we do a game companion tomorrow night then on the Cowboys game, second half?
Yeah, I think
that might be a go, actually.
Right, cool. Right. We'll lock it in.
Cool.
And so that'll be a member save this week as well. Okay, that's it. Thanks for listening. And yeah, I'll talk to you fellas tomorrow and see everybody else next week.
Okay. Later. See ya.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.